Sing aloud to God our strength. Raise a song, sound the tambourine. Blow the trumpet at the new moon. For it is a statute for Israel. He made it a decree in Joseph. I hear a language I had not known. In distress, you called and I delivered you.
I answered you in the secret place of
thunder. I tested you in the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you.
O Israel,
there shall be no strange God among you.
You shall not
bow down to the foreign God. I am the Lord your God. But my people did not listen to my voice. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts. Oh, that my people would listen to me. I would soon subdue their enemies. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him. But he would feed you with the finest of wheat. And our reading is short, so I'm just going to read it here. And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and over all his household. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, joy, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. I'll admit that tonight's texts are not automatic to the supposed theme, the redemption of our witness. I should have paid closer attention to the suggestions, but I had vibed so well on the first couple that I just kind of assumed that vibing would continue. But let's give this meditation a try. The main character that we're to focus on is Joseph. The short reading from Acts comes from Stephen, the first martyr's speech before he was stoned, in which he claimed all of Israel's history for the witness of Christ and for the nascent church's witness. This is the main thought. The rest of Joseph's brothers, the founders of the tribes of Israel, cast Joseph out. They were jealous of him. So they sold him into Egypt. And what does Joseph do in Egypt? He saves the Egyptians. He saves the Gentiles because God is with him. God rescued Joseph out of all of his afflictions, gave him favor with Pharaoh, made him ruler over all of Egypt, and by saving the Gentiles, Joseph also saves his brothers and his entire family too. The open question and the point of Martyr Stephen's sermon is, will the brothers of Jesus who had crucified him repent? Will they return as Joseph's brothers did? And will they recognize, as Joseph summarized his life, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that many people should be saved? Saul, later on Paul, was standing there collecting coats for the stoning as Stephen preached that sermon. And Stephen's theme bears a remarkable similarity to Paul's reflection on his brothers according to the flesh in Romans. I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify, make greater my ministry to them in order to somehow make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, then what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? Paul's entire ministry, his salvation of the Gentiles, speaking of those who did not have the language, was in the hope that his fellow Jews, like their tribal founders, would return from the dead, that the natural branches would be regrafted in with the wild olive branches onto the one root, Jesus Christ. Now Paul, like the Old Testament itself, refuses to admit that all Israel was faithless. God always keeps a remnant, and Paul holds himself up as part of that remnant. And I think the modern American church might find itself at something of a similar crossroads. I'm just going to use LCMS numbers for a second, but many of them look the same. The LCMS at its peak, roughly 1964, was about 3 million souls. And well over 2 million of those were in church on any given Sunday. Today, that number is about 1.7 million, with about 500,000 on any given Sunday. And the demographics, of course, don't look all that great. It's fair to say you can see the remnant. And there are many reasons that this is the case, but certainly one of them is that a large number of people who spoke the native tongue rejected it. It's a cliche anymore, but look at confirmation class pictures from the 1970s and ask where everyone is. God sent Joseph to Egypt. And Joseph, in the midst of Egypt, was faithful. And this is the Psalm connection. He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt that I hear a language that I have not known. Joseph's witness was amid a foreign tongue. In the midst of people worshiping all kinds of strange gods, Joseph hewed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the midst of strange gods, he did not bow down to foreign gods. And while in Egypt, eventually there arises a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And in the wilderness, Israel proves that they too forget this God, such that God hands them over to their stubborn hearts. The witness of Joseph remains. Because the promise of Jesus is eternal. As Paul would say, all Israel will be saved. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my way. And the sheep do hear the shepherd's voice and follow. Because God always renews his efforts. God always redeems that faithful witness. And that witness may be in strange tongues. It may be in the midst of a people with strange and foreign gods. But God redeems it, makes that witness real. And maybe like Joseph's brothers, or maybe like Paul's hope, the native branches realize their dryness, realize that they are in danger of being kindling, and return. Because the word does not return empty. Wherever God sends his people, he redeems their witness. It might feel like it was intended for evil, that he's cut off some branches for evil, but God intends it for good. Because in the redemption of our witness, in this word that goes out, is the reconciliation of the world. And bringing anyone back on is bringing life back from the dead. And that's what Jesus does. He brings life back from the dead. That my people would listen to me. That Israel would walk in my ways. And I would subdue their enemies. That's the promise. Our great enemies have been defeated. Amen.